Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Get your Bibles. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 13. I want to show you something. Tonight, I think that I'm in a personal evolution, which means change. You know, the best sermons usually a preacher preaches, he preaches about himself. Not trying to be selfish, but that's, you know, you preach right. About your own journey.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Where you are. What you're struggling with, where you're going, type of thing. And, man, I'm a piece of work. I mean, and so are you. We're just a piece of work. It's like, wow, Lord, you are really good and patient with us. And we had a great dinner tonight, which was, thank you, Steve Aponte, again, and all the kitchen crew. And one particular time when Jesus in John chapter 13, the disciples had a meal together, and they were, of course, celebrating the Passover and all that. And after the meal, and I thought about doing this tonight, then I just honestly, I got busy and I didn't do it, so I'll tell you what I was going to do. Jesus picked up a towel and a bowl, and he began to wash feet. And I thought, well, that's, you know, a sermon illustrated. It's much better than preached any day. So I'll just do that. We'll just have a foot washing service. People are always frightened of that because I want to make sure their feet are clean, I guess. You know, we want to be forewarned before you're going to have a foot washing service. So anyway, we're not going to have one tonight. But that's what Jesus did after this meal. And then he said these incredible words. He said, if I then, the Lord and your teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And it's not about washing feet. There's whole denominations that are made based upon foot washing services and all that. And that's all good and well, but it's about serving one another. It's about honoring the person in front of you more than yourself and being willing to, whatever their need is the moment, to step down and meet that need, you know, step below them. And that's really what it's about. It's about, Jesus said, I'm your master. I'm showing you by example. This is how you're to live. And if I washed your feet, then I expect you, if you're following me, to go out and do the same thing to everybody else you meet. And then he goes on to say these incredible words in John 13, 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also should love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're really my disciples. By this. And I have to confess to you that I think, wow. You know, we sang some of those songs tonight. They were beautiful songs about, oh, Lord, I love you. I worship you. I adore you. I do, but I know that I'm not there sometimes. I mean, I know that the words I was singing tonight, I want to be there all the time. But sometimes I'm not there. And I know you say, well, you're just human. No, I understand. But It's a serious failure not to be at that place that God has called us to be, this kind of love and this kind of devotion. Loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Who does that all the time? And so I have a little prayer I wrote out, just kind of, I hope you can read it. Because I think it's truthful. I think it's honest. I think it's where we are. And I prayed it. I'm going to ask you to pray it with me, because I think it's just saying the truth of the matter is we're not where we need to be. We know we need your grace to get there, God, type of prayer. So if you want to pray this prayer with me out loud, even if you haven't read it all, but it's safe. Don't worry. You won't be taking a vow or something. Then just why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet in honor of we're talking to the Lord now. We're not just repeating words. We're talking to the Lord. And I really believe this is an expression of our true heart to him. God accepts us where we are. I'm so thankful. Here we go. Lord, we realize, Lord, and I don't know why I put that in there twice. Sorry, I should have proofread that. Lord, we realize that we don't have the capacity to manufacture this love. That's what I meant. It's more than human emotion. It is a divine, God-given capacity. And Lord, we want it. We want this love. We want our lives to be marked by this kind of love. Jesus, work in us now. Let your Holy Spirit, Father, just fill us now with your love, that we might indeed love one another, even as you loved us. Thank you, Lord, for your work tonight. Continue thy work until your love is perfected in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. So we have these moments where we experience God's love flowing through us, and it's wonderful. You know, when someone is reviling you or saying something evil toward you, and at that moment you don't have any malice in your heart toward them whatsoever. Instead, you're able by the grace of God to look back at them with pure love. I mean, that's got to be God. You know how we are. And when we have those sporadic moments, we say, oh, man, Lord, that was so cool. That was so awesome that you enabled me to do this. I knew it was your grace because I couldn't do it on my own. And we want this, and it's available. That's the thing. It's available 24/7. It's nothing you can work up. It's nothing you can manufacture. And so I just don't believe I have this kind of love flowing through me all the time. I know I don't. But I believe we can get there. I truly believe we can get there. Or else, you know, what we just prayed was in vain. I do believe, but it's all supernatural and it's all by God's grace. Now, Jesus, remember, said, by a little bit way of review of Sunday, Jesus has said to Peter, he said, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you cannot come. And Peter barks up and says, now, Lord, why can't we go with you? Why can't I go with you? Lord, I laid down my life for you. And I truly believe that Peter was absolutely sincere. I believe that Peter truly meant, I am willing to lay down my life right now for you, God. You know, many years ago, Columbine, the little girl that gave her life, you know, when the guy put the gun to her head and said, you know, you believe in God, you believe in Jesus. If you say yes, I'm going to kill you. And she said yes, and she just, you know, gave her life. I honestly think I could do that. I think I could do that. I don't think it, and not discounting her great sacrifice, but I, I think I could do that. I don't think there's any question in my mind if a terrorist put a gun to my head and said, you're going to deny Jesus Christ or I'm going to kill you. It's a shoot. And I'm not bragging on me. It's no bragging on me. I think many of you would do that. But here's the point. Sometimes it's harder to live for God than it would be to die for him. I think Peter found that out. Lord, I'll give my life for you. I think he was sincere. I think he's just like us. And yeah, absolutely. I'll do it right now, no hesitation. But it's more difficult to live for the Lord, as Peter found out. And so I think within less than 24 hours, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked Peter and James and John, he says, pray with me. My soul is so burdened. I've never felt this kind of burden before. Pray with me. Pray with me. And they said, okay, we will. And Jesus goes off a little ways by himself and he comes back and what? He finds them asleep. The time that he's at the greatest burden of his life. Asleep. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And he goes off and does it again, come back and they're still asleep. They fall asleep again. But Peter says, on another occasion, he says, yes, Lord, I'd lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, well, will you really? Really, Peter? Before the rooster crows, before morning, you're going to have denied me that you've even known me 3 times. Peter says, no way. You don't know me, Lord. That cannot happen. And yet we know it did. Why did Peter deny Jesus? Let me ask you, what was it? Did his faith fail? Some people would say, well, yeah, his faith was failed. But no, let's look at the scriptures. Look in your Bible to Luke chapter 22, and you can see clearly that that's not the answer. Peter's faith did not fail. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus says, Simon, Simon is another word for Peter, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Satan demanding God? I have a right to sift this man. I have a right to shake this man. Satan is demanding God. I have legal right to shake him, to sift him. And Jesus revealed to Peter, but I've prayed for you. I'm allowing him to shake you. I'm allowing him to sift you. But I've prayed for you. That what not fail? Your faith not fail. Your faith in what? Your faith in me. Not your faith in you. Not your faith in how strong you are. But your faith in me. Who I am. And who is Jesus? He is love unconditional. I will not fail you. You will fail me. But I will not fail you. So, Satan has permission to shake Peter. Doesn't the scripture say in Hebrews, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And only what is unshaken, unshakable will remain. Okay. Well, what's unshakable? One thing. It's not faith. Your faith can be shaken. Doctor tells you, you got cancer. I don't care who you are, that shakes you. Something tragic happens to your family. You're claiming Psalm 91, but I don't care who you are, that shakes you. And it shakes your faith. He said, I pray that your faith not fail. Peter denied Jesus three times. His faith didn't fail because Jesus prayed for his faith not to fail. What failed was his flesh. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. His flesh failed. Now you can take all the components, and if I had a blackboard, I'd draw this out for you so you could see it better. You could take all the components for success and lay them out in front of you. It'd be like a giant power line, okay? And so this giant power line, we are trying to access the favor of God, the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. And it's right over here, okay? And then to access this favor of God, we have to have faith. By grace are you saved through faith. So everything we get from God's grace, we have to have faith. Faith accesses the grace of God. But what is it that activates faith? What gets faith going? What makes faith activated in your life? What is it that causes faith to work? Anybody know? All good answers, but not good enough. One thing, you got to go to the scriptures. Bible says faith worketh by love. That's the answer. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Faith works by love. Without love, faith won't work. See, the Bible tells us in the scriptures, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And many times in church, we do just the opposite. We pursue spiritual gifts and we desire love. And what happens is God's gifts are given without repentance. A prophet can come in and prophesy. An evangelist can come in and do an evangelism crusade and all this kind of stuff. And it will be effective to a point, but something will just be missing. And if you're spiritual, you'll pick up on it that something's just not right. This is good, people getting saved, but something's just not right because it's not flowing through love. You see, love is the fire hose that just makes faith open up like a balloon and accesses grace. Boom. Then the flow happens. Love touches faith, activates faith, and faith accesses grace. And it's got to go in that order. Now, I'm trying to prove a point here in a short amount of time. So you have all these components. And here's my point. Without love flowing through us, everything will just kind of shut down, or it will operate on a less than supernatural level. You know, we can do church without God. Come on, all of you who have done that before, you know. We can live the Christian life without God. I just want to know if you're honest. But something's not right, you see. Because it's not flowing in the love of God. Faith worketh by love. Now, I got to move ahead because I'll start rambling. I don't want to do that here. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Three types of love, quickly. Three types of love. You're familiar with this. If you've been around church for a while, you know Eros love is a erotic attraction. This love can fail. You know, even the sensual love between a husband and a wife in marriage that's blessed by God, that kind of love can fail. It only lasts so long. Second kind of love is phileo love, the Greek word phileo. Philadelphia is the word out of which phileo comes from, the city of brotherly love. This love can fail. Have friends ever failed you? There you go. But agape is God's kind of love. It's supernatural. It is unconditional. And this is the love, 1 Corinthians 17 says, love never fails. It's talking about agape. Agape never fails. Now, this may fail, and this may, but agape will never fail because it's God. It's God's kind of love, unconditional love. Now, for demonstration of that, you've experienced this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, but God has demonstrated, he's manifested his agape toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape. That's the kind of love we're talking about. That's the kind of love that fuels faith and touches grace, and then mighty things happen that there's no explanation for other than God. You get this flowing in a church, look out. You get this flowing in your life, look out. So we basically said before, this is God's love, and grace is manifested this way. God's love is manifested this way. When we were at our worst, God shows us his best. That's how it is. Hallelujah, he does. So we begin to see that there's no one who can love us like God loves us. Absolutely no one. Now, when you do find people that are flowing in agape love, they probably don't do it 100% of the time, but when they do it, you notice it. And they notice it. Now, Jesus came to Peter after Peter failed, and Peter was disgusted with himself and felt like three strikes, you're out. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm not fit for ministry. I'm sure Jesus doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. And Jesus comes to him, makes breakfast for him on the beach that day, as you remember from Sunday morning. And Jesus asked Peter the question after they pulled in that huge catch, after being out there all night long, they didn't catch anything. There was a reason for that. And then the Lord said, cast your nets on the other side. They do. Then they catch 153 large fish and pull them to shore. Peter was a fisherman by trade before coming to Christ. And this would probably be the biggest and best catch in a moment that he'd ever had in his lifetime. Wow, this is it. And then Jesus looks at him while he's cooking breakfast, and he says, Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these? In other words, do you love me more than success in your eyes? This is success. Do you love me more than these? Now, that's a really good question. I've been asking myself that a lot lately. And I've been finding out where my love level is. And my love level is far lower than what I'm ashamed to say, than what it should be. You put your name in there. Gary, and Jesus talking to you, do you love me more than, what is it, your dream? A 10,000 member church. Gary, do you love me more than a television ministry? You travel around the world and you... Gary, do you love me more than $1 million in your bank account? I mean, just fill in your blank there. Put your name in right now. And it's something you've been asking God for, or something you've just been wanting. Just fill in the blank. Just see how it feels. Just here, take it and try it out. No charge. Just... try it out. Test run that thing right now where you are. Come on, just think about it. What's one of those great desires you have in your life? Is it health? Is it live a long life? Is it, you know, whatever it is. See your kids do what? Fill in the blank. Do you love me more than? And Peter answered in response, honestly, because he knows the Lord knows all things. He said, well, Lord, you know I phileo you. I love you fondly. I love you fondly. I love you, but not at the place where you love me. And she says, well, then tend my sheep. Get back to the ministry that I've called you to. Don't look over here and see this success and be gravitating toward that and say, well, that's what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. No, do what I've called you to do, even if you don't have what you perceive to be success. Success is doing what I've told you to do. You follow me. But there's 10,000 people over here that, no. That's not success if God didn't call you. If God said, you follow me, and there's 153 over here, then you do this. I ain't just talking about me. I'm talking about you. Okay. Do you love me more than wanting to be successful in your own eyes? Now, and it gets a little bit harder. Only a few people in the Bible that I'm aware of that had the kind of agape love that, for example, in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham waited 25 years for the promised child Isaac. And then God strangely said, now go take him upon the Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. But God, do what I tell you. Abraham obeyed. Got Isaac up there and had laid him out on the sacrifice, had the knife in his hand, ready to plunge into his only son. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the theophany of the Lord himself, was said, don't hurt the child. Stop. Now I know you love me first. Abraham had it. That's what it looks like. So if you want to know what would that look like in your, that's what, would you? And another time, I'll tell you another place it looked that way. And this woman had this, had a child, and the child died. And this was a child that was promised to her by the prophet Elijah. And this child dies. And she doesn't go into a panic. She doesn't scream and holler and wail. She just says, I know God's good. And if I somehow get this child to the man of God, this child's going to be okay. Now, she didn't tell anybody that, but she must have been speaking it to herself, because she had him saddle up a donkey, and she took she left her son there, but she went to get the man of God. And on the way to get the man of God, people ask her, are you okay? They could look at her and tell something's just not right. Are you okay? And she said, it's well. Her husband asked her, are you okay? I'm going to see the man of God. Well, it's not a new moon. It's not a feast. What are you doing? It's well. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Everything's all right. She had it. That's what it looked like. When you have this agape, faith flows effortlessly into grace. There ain't no striving. Oh, I got to believe. I got to believe. I got to confess. I got to. No, there's no striving. When you're in agape, when you love God unconditionally, faith just flows right into grace. Bam! And gets the miracle. That's how it works. It's always love flowing into faith, and faith touches grace, and bam! There it goes. Later, you know, Peter, he wasn't at that level. But the Lord was at that level with him. And he's at that level with you. He knows that Satan's going to come and shake the daylights out of you sooner or later. He's going to shake you like a rag doll. But Jesus has already prayed for you. He's prayed that your faith not fail, and your faith will not fail. The question is, will your love fail? So what are you trying to tell us about? Well, I'm trying to tell you that the main thing for you and I to focus on more than anything else in our life is to focus on intimacy with God, and out of intimacy with God, we fall in love with Him more and more and more, and the more you love Him, the more you trust Him. And the more you love Him, the more faith you have in Him. And love will flow into faith, and faith will flow into grace, and your life will just be effortlessly flowing along. Even when the devil comes along to cause you trouble, you will not be shaken. You'll go, I ain't wasting time on you. I'm focusing on loving God. You say, preacher, is it that easy? I don't know. Why don't we try it? I think so. Because it's all by grace. We prayed a prayer now at the beginning here. God, we're not there yet, but we want to go there. Now, you prayed that prayer, and God heard it. And if you meant it, God said, okay, then the journey begins right now. And I'm going to arrange things in your life so that you can walk in love like I commanded you supernaturally. And this love's going to fuel your faith so that effortlessly you're going to tap into the grace of God and you're going to live at a whole new level. So your job is to stay in love. Walk in love. Obey the first commandment. If you obey that commandment to love the Lord, to walk in love and to love the Lord your God, and then to love one another and obey, then you don't have to worry about thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt... You don't even have to think about those. It's automatic. Your love fuels faith, and faith touches grace. Loving God and loving people. I think that's the summation of what life is all about here. Loving God, loving people. Not just loving people who love you back. Pharisees could do that. Loving people who are difficult. Loving the boss who is just unreasonable. Loving the neighbor who cussed you out. Or whoever it may be. And you can't just say, I'm going to determine to love. That won't work. That's flesh. You'll burn out. It'll only work as long as you put effort in it, and eventually your effort will run out. You've got to tap into grace. God, I can't, but you can. I can't love like you love. Peter's failure was not a faith failure, it was a love failure. That's all it was. If he'd have had agape love instead of phileo love, he would never denied Christ. So our goal, our direction, is to get this realize, first of all, how much God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. He knows your mood. He knows your behavior. He knows your patterns. He already knows the things you're going to do in the future that you shouldn't do, sins and errors, and He's already paid for it with His Son's blood. Already paid for it. And He loves you, and He never stops loving you. He's never disappointed in you. If He was disappointed in you, it'd mean He didn't know what was going to happen. He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you in your weakest moment. He loves you when you're spiteful, when you're ugly, when you're mean, when you're nasty, when you're immoral. He loves you. He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you, and He never stops loving you. That you got to go, whoa! Now I knew you loved me, but I didn't think you loved me that much. Oh, His love never changes one degree. It's always boiling passion for you, regardless of your performance. You say, well, then it don't matter what I'll do. I'll just go out and do what I want to do. Well, then you're just foolish. You're foolish. You're really not realizing how much you're loved. Once you realize how much you're loved, effortlessly, that love flowing in your life will help you lay aside addictions, help you lay aside your failures. See, because you won't be focused on, well, I got to quit this. You'll be focused on, wow, he loves me this much. He loves me. He's not disappointed. He's not. Whew. I'm telling you, it'll change you. It changed me. And so we're commanded as a church to love one another this way. And we can't just do it by saying, well, we're going to love people. That will not work. We have to experience agape from him. You can't give away something you don't have. So, man, when we come to that communion table, we ought to just be sobbing with tears. Think, remembering, you love me this much? You continue to love me. You continue to put up with me. You continue to tolerate me. You continue to be patient with me. You continue to bless me. There's no one like you, God. No one like you. So the church ought to be an easy place that when you, a Sunday morning, I felt love here. I felt love when the first song started being played. And it wasn't about Pastor Appreciation Day either. It was flowing. You can tell there's a sweet, sweet, sweet spirit here. Terry said he felt it too. He just sensed it right away. You know, just, it's love. That's what it is. But how do you get that going all the time? I don't know. For the life of me, I don't know. Terry doesn't know. We looked at each other and, well, you know, if it was a formula, then we would have found it out by now. We'd do it every week. And some Sundays you can come in and it's like ice cubes, man. You can, whoosh. And I do not know why, other than love is not flowing. When love flows, faith flows and grace flows. That's how it works. So we just need to get the love going. Loving God and loving people. The way God loves people is he doesn't look at their sin. Give me about another minute. I know you got choir practice. Give me about. If there was a man, let's say, that came in here right now on Wednesday night, and he was drunk as a skunk. He walked in, falling down drunk. You folks would love him. Every one of you, you'd be merciful to him. You'd be gracious to him. You know. And then we'd try to, you know, tell him about the love of Jesus. We'd share the gospel with him. And then to say he prayed the prayer to receive Jesus. Hallelujah. We'd all hug on him and love on him. We don't care what he smelled like. We'd love on him. And next week he comes back in again. And he's drunk again. Now, some of you wouldn't be so quick to love on him. Do you know why? That's fact. You know why? You haven't experienced unconditional love of God like that. You shouldn't love him any less and any different. You say, well, that's not right, and he needs to change. Well, yes, he does, but you ain't going to change him, and neither am I. Amen. Only love's going to change him. And if you treated him any different the second time than you did the first time, then you don't know what love is, because God hasn't treated you that way. How many times have you done the same thing over and over and over again? God never kick you to the curb and say, now get out of here until you straighten your act up and then you can come back. No, no. He has wrapped his arms around you and loved you, and he has said to you, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. And the truth is, most of the time, God doesn't even bring up your sin to you. I'm waiting for him sometime to, you know, I show up in the morning. I know, well, Lord, I said something I shouldn't have said, did something I shouldn't have done. And I'm waiting for him to bring it up. He never brings it up. I have to bring it up. Well, Lord, you know, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I know you are. I'm glad to hear that. Now go and sin no more. That's all you want to talk about. Don't you want to that's all, that's, it's done, it's paid for. Yeah, but I'd feel better if you'd tell me how bad I was or something, you know. You're not bad, you're good. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you were the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus even when you sinned. Huh? I'm getting way too deep over my head, and I'm going to quit because I'm done. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you. I do ask you to give us, myself, all of us, personal revelation of the absolutely astounding, amazing, overwhelming love of God that you have for us in Christ Jesus. The surpassing greatness of your love. It's greater than anything we know. It's greater than any measurement we have. Lord, if we could just have more revelation of what you've already given and help us to continue in it, then we'll be changed forever. Then effortlessly we'll live the Christian life by faith fueled by love. Thank you. Pray your blessing now upon every person here. It's already there. But I just declare verbally, they are blessed, God. Blessed coming in and blessed going out. Whatever they do, they can prosper. They will succeed. And their steps are ordered by the Lord. Thank you, God. They are highly favored. Heaven is watching out for them. Thank you. I bless them and thank you for them. Your kids, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love some people before you go home tonight.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.